pieces of a whole with different feelings to evolve. Giving distinction to the role, different players, different strokes.
But let me tell you about one thing I know. Everybody's got a seed to sow. Set your heart apart, take it down the road. Everybody's got a seed to sow.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the WPTF Weekend Gardener. Mike Rayleigh here. Boy, I'm loud. Am I always that loud? Phil Campbell is with us. Rufus Edmondson.
Broadcaster voice.
Well, I'm just loud, or I can be. Well, at any rate, good morning. I hope that woke you up. It woke me up. That's I found getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning and coming to work, laughing, wakes me up. I'm energized. Yeah. I'm sure it has something to do with endorphins and all of that, but that's...
What did you just say?
Where have you been? I said laughing wakes me up.
You said something like endorphins. What is that?
Endorphins.
Is that a cousin to a dorphin?
I knew dorphin.
Yeah.
That's not a biblical name. Dorcas is.
Yeah.
Dorcas is I saw some movie recently, but there's some interesting names like Rufus and Dorcas and Festus.
Yes.
Like Festus Hagen. That's in the Bible, I'm told. Have you run across Festus?
Well, I've run across. Rufus was a crossbearer, by the way.
Yeah, that's right.
In the New Testament.
Well, at any rate, that's what wakes me up. So I am awake this morning because I got plenty of sleep last night.
That's great.
Yeah, it's
what
always
you get, 4 hours.
No. That's what I get during the week. But I went to bed about the same time last night, and I didn't get up until about 5:30 this morning. So,
gracious.
Yeah, that's a lot of time.
We got up at 5:30.
What, about 8:30? I didn't sleep the whole time. You know how things are. You wake up. But at any rate, that's, I feel refreshed on weekends.
That's good.
Is it hot in here to y'all?
It is.
All right. I'll take care of that. 919-860-9783, 919-860-WPTF.
I thought you were going to make a comment about, we'll take hot air Edmondson out of here for a while.
I tell you what.
Thank you for not doing that.
Talk a minute, and I'll go over here to the thermostat.
Oh, okay.
Just talk about yourselves.
Yeah.
No worries.
Well, last night, I was telling Phil, I went to an event relating to boxing and saw some of the old greats, Foreman, Bonecrusher Smith, and ran into two people who said that we just love the Weekend Gardener because of how you all relate to one another. And I said, you don't think we talk too much? And I said, no, that's our entertainment, to hear you guys talk about something besides plants all the time.
I did a commercial with Bonecrusher Smith one time. That is one big man.
size those hands? And those feet, I bet, are...
He and John Baker are two of the biggest men I have ever seen in my life.
Well, he was in a wheelchair because his knees were bad.
Oh, no.
But he was in full spirits.
Well, this has been 30 years ago. He was solid. You met George Foreman?
Yes, he was there.
Wow. He's ageless.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That is so neat.
That was a gathering.
Did you tell him about the Weekend Gardener? He can listen online.
I don't think he was much interested in gardening, but he was all there.
You never know.
He said, you're a fine young man. I said, well, I'd love to hear that. I don't know how old he is, but he was very with it.
He's got to be in his 70s.
Oh, more than that.
He's more than in his 70s?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's approaching 80.
He's not doing TV commercials anymore.
Yeah.
I don't think. But, wow, how about that? Bonecrusher Smith and George Foreman.
That's great. Yeah,
there's some others that I can't remember their names. But.
And they can't either, probably, after boxing all those years. You know how that goes.
There were some bobbling heads last night. Full things.
Well, that's was the occasion? Was
we
this
were honoring Bill Clancy is a longtime friend of mine and a referee of over 1,200 bouts.
And good Irish name.
In his career.
Yeah.
And he had refereed all those people that were there and was being honored by the Presidential Medal of Honor for volunteerism.
Oh, how wonderful.
At the Civic Center.
Yeah.
That's great.
And just a wonderful friend and helped me start the Boxing Commission years ago. And they honored me a little bit by a little, I guess you call it, what's your thing called, a montage.
Yeah.
Of having started the Boxing Commission in North Carolina. And so
so you were honored too.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. But the main honor was Bill Clancy.
I love that name. Bill Clancy. It sounds like a referee, somebody associated with boxing.
Yeah. He said you wouldn't believe it, but there were times when I would be punched in the head.
Oh, sure.
Oh, I'm sure he would.
Oh, yeah. He said, I almost.
And I got to tell you, that hurts.
He said, I almost went down one night. And they had a video of him in there, and this guy, he was trying to break up a dangerous fight, and one landed right smack dab in his jaw, and he went off balance.
Boy.
It's a treacherous
profession. Yeah, I always felt, I did a little wrestling, not much. I always felt like that was a little safer.
Yeah.
The boxing, a little bit of boxing at Oak Ridge, and
well, now, that interests me about you being a wrestler, since that's the only sport that I really excelled in. I have to brag a little bit, Phil. In high school, I was the state champion wrestler at weight 154 pounds. And in the words of the old Bible hymnal, I've waxed and grown strong since that time.
Well, at any rate, I didn't do much of it. Wasn't very good, but wasn't big enough, wasn't strong enough.
Oh, well, wrestling, though.
Guess I wasn't mean enough.
You can do any weight. That's the wonderful thing about it. And
well, it's a great sport. I think all the universities, you were talking about last week, you weren't sure all the universities had wrestling anymore. But
I'm not sure.
NC State does.
Yeah.
Look at that. I'm sure Carolina does, too.
Yeah, they do. They show a lot of it on TV now, which is remarkable.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, real wrestling.
Yeah.
I mean, look, with the Olympic wrestling is what we usually see.
And others wrestling.
Wrestling, yeah. let's differentiate. Well, we've been through about 10 minutes and haven't said a word about gardening, have we?
Well.
When I walked away to the thermostat over here, I thought y'all were going to start that, but Rufus went into wrestling.
Didn't it?
So, Phil, you had a chance. You hadn't been on for a while. You've been sick.
Be back. Yeah, and Carlton
fed pneumonia.
Sick. And Carlton was really sick. He had pneumonia, and it affected his heart. So,
yeah,
he's been doing well though. He's
and you had the flu. Didn't you have the flu?
Yeah.
Golly, you don't usually get sick. You
have allergy
problems,
like
and sinus problems, like I do, but.
I've never been sick like I was.
Yeah. Well, I hope that's
a one-time
occurrence.
Yeah.
So you are holding a favorite plant that I really didn't know that much about until you talked about it last year. And I bought a plant, and it is so fascinating. Rufus, I know, has mentioned it and others on the show over the years.
Well, I like to call it the banana pudding plant because when I walk out my door right now, actually, or at least when the sun comes out a little bit more, I can really smell this. The fragrance it's a lot like the Edgeworthia, and it's a lot like the tea olive. You don't really see these blooms unless you look for them.
Yeah.
They're just really, I like it because the bud is covered in brown fuzz, which gives it a really nice look. And then when it comes out, the bloom itself, when it opens up, it's like it's Serendipity magnolia. And the bloom itself, when it opens up, looks like a magnolia bloom. A very, very small magnolia bloom.
Tiny, and a little yellowish, but when you sniff it, it smells like a banana.
It smells like banana pudding. I love it. And mine has mine's probably about 10 feet tall now.
In your yard?
Mm-hmm.
Because you got so much acreage.
Yeah.
I didn't know what you were talking about.
But it's probably about 6 years old.
Yeah, if you hadn't said that was a magnolia, I would have thought it was in the camellia family.
Right.
Because the leaves look like a camellia. Are they serrated on the edge like a camellia?
No.
Yeah.
It does look like a camellia. And it has, when the blooms fall off, it looks just like a magnolia with a little cone on it.
It's nice.
I got to get another one. Mine died.
Huh.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah, that's...
Maybe too wet?
Well, I think it was scarred too much by an errant weed eater.
Oh.
Well, okay. Well, that's easy to do, especially, I mean, you've got a lot of plants in your yard.
Yeah.
So... That's interesting. So you can how long did you have yours? How big was it?
It was about 10 feet tall.
Oh, you said that.
It had over 20 years.
Yeah.
Huh. You know, I like. I really was happy when I walked outside this morning and saw all the pollen in the water that was on the ground. It was nice to know that much of it has washed away, I hope. And I know we're not done with it because it'll come right back.
I'm glad you ended that sentence with saying why you liked was
no so I like it
overjoyed
I like it in the
pollen.
Water I like it in the water that's on the ground because I know that it's been washed away for
it's for always good to get a rainstorm. We're going to have some more rain this week, which is good. And it's the pine pollen. You could look up at the pines and see the cones, where the cones are forming, and the yellow and that's the culprit. Although our sniffles don't come from that.
No, they mine are maple. I know they're from maple because when the maple trees first started showing that little bit of red, I'm talking about the big maple trees. And they start showing that little bit of red.
That was back in February.
Bloom. It was, and it's. And, I mean, you know, I don't feel sick or anything, but it's like, you're nasal early in the mornings, and it kind of clears up. But it's definitely bad. So, if you're going to have leaves on your trees, and you're going to have all the good—
And the good, maples are beautiful trees.
Yeah, they are. They're just gorgeous.
And the Japanese
color.
Maples.
Yep. And then the color in the fall, you've got to go through all the seasons, and it's definitely spring. I mean, I guess the calendar says that it is, but we've been going through spring, like you said, since February.
Yeah, it's we really have, and it will be a long one, we're told, this year.
Right.
But it's also very pretty. The dogwoods are starting to come out.
Yes, they are.
Forsythia has bloomed a long time. Melissa and I were... So one thing that relaxes me, and there aren't many things that relax me, is getting out in a rural setting and riding. And that just something from my childhood, I suppose, of being able to enjoy that because my parents and... You know, relatives love to do that. There was the Andy Griffith Show episode where Barney buys a car, and so they pack everybody in and they ride through the countryside. And you know, the so and so's red barn, doesn't that look good? They always keep it up. Well, that's the kind of thing that I grew up doing. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
On Sundays and
sure.
so forth. So.
And you know, the one thing that has really been full of color for a very long time are the red buds. The red buds are just full of color right now. Even like in the woods up towards in Orange County and Chatham County. But they're just the ones in the yard at our house are just, I guess they've been blooming for over a month.
And there's so many. Dr. Warner, have you seen him lately? Denny Warner? Because he developed some interesting ones.
Right. I've talked with him or texted back and forth with him. He was going to use some of the space at the greenhouse like he always does. But it stayed so warm so early that he was able to do everything outside, all of his whatever he does with his red buds. Yeah.
By the way, Phil, are all red bud leaves heart-shaped?
That is a really good question.
I think so.
I think most of them are.
I think that's a characteristic of the plant. Why, do you have something in your yard that you're trying to identify like that evergreen African thing?
I have four different ones. They're all heart-shaped. And I've often wondered, too, why they're called red buds, because I've never seen a true red bud.
Yeah, that's true. And it's kind of neat at the house, because a lot of the red buds in our yard came from Alamance County. I brought, like, one down and... You know, and it just sent seed out. And so when you stand back and look at all of them, though, they're different shades.
Right.
So they came from seed from that mother red bud that I brought down, but they're all different shades of pink or deep pink and rose color.
But have you ever seen a red
no,
one?
No. Probably the closest to a red is the Chinese red bud, the one that blooms all the way up the stem.
Right.
It's really bright.
Maybe Dr. Warner will develop a red flowered red bud.
Yeah,
NC State name.
Yeah, they finally got the red buddleia, or as close to red as it could be.
And what's the? Do you remember the name of that? Is that one of the low growing ones?
Yeah, the Miss Ruby, I think, is the reddest one.
Okay.
Yeah, they're the smaller ones.
A lot of plants I've noticed have got the Ruby name attached to them.
Yeah, Ruby Falls, his red bud that is weeping.
There's hydrangea's got a ruby in it.
Yeah.
And then there's a country song called Oh Ruby.
I'm not familiar with that. Who did that?
I think that was Kenny Rogers.
Yeah.
I'm sure somebody out there in radio land will correct me. I'm not going to try to sing it, but if it's Oh Ruby.
That was his first hit. I don't think it was that name of the song, but it's did have that in there. Take your love to town. Right. Just like Rufus said.
Yeah.
Oh Ruby, don't take your love to town. All right.
Yeah.
919-860-9783. If you're awake, you're welcome to call. If you're not, you're still welcome to call us. We have probably talked to people walking in their sleep before and just not known it. Do you think that's possible?
I'm afraid that some of them have known it.
And they were people slurring their words. It couldn't be any other reason.
Yeah.
So
the bulbs are about gone, I noticed. There's a few still around, like the daffodils and the tulips.
Tulips are looking really good. I saw we were in Pittsburgh yesterday, and there was a restaurant that had some huge red ones. I mean, they're the biggest red tulips I've ever seen, the flower part.
Yeah, I love it.
They were tall.
Yeah, the way the daffodils come out, and then the tulips come out, and then the summer bulbs come out. But, yeah, there's some beautiful yellow tulips on Jones Franklin Road. I mean, they're just gorgeous.
There is on Glenwood Avenue, just before you get to the Beltline, if you're coming from downtown, on the right, there's an office complex of some tall buildings. And there is a spread. It's just a mass of, they aren't pink, they're sort of pink, they're kind of a darker pink tulip, and pansies, kind of white lavender pansies, a mass of those. That is so pretty. I need to take a, it's probably.
Is that right before you get to Creedmoor Road on the right?
No. That's something I've talked about. Yeah. They don't have tulips and pansies up there, but that bank that they have built is so interesting, the different colors of of trees they have. But this is before you get to the coming down Glenwood, heading toward Crabtree.
Is it close to Oberlin?
It's near the Beltline. It's near Women's Club Drive.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
That group of fairly new in the last few years buildings there, and that is just stupendous. I notice it because I don't take the Beltline always to get to the Crabtree area.
Right.
Sometimes take Glenwood, and it's really really interesting the eyes and focus that people have and the tastes and the talents for color. And whoever put this together really had a good sense of color and texture, I think. 919-860-9783. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up. I'm so glad to see the rain because of the pollen.
Yeah, exactly. All the pollen sufferers
and plus,
are singing
it's,
that song.
Down east, it's abnormally dry. I mean,
right.
They've continued, Goldsboro, down in that area, down southeast, they've had all that sand, and it drains through, and they get abnormally dry down there a lot. So glad to have the rain in this area and make the, as long as it doesn't knock the petals off, get too hard there. I ran into a little bit of hard rain coming from Pittsburgh yesterday, but not real hard. And it's kind of misty this morning, but it's really not too bad.
We've had, out at the nursery, we've had just a little over half inch.
Since
yesterday.
Wonderful.
So, I mean, like what we got yesterday, hard downpour we got.
Uh-huh.
And then,
so you had a hard downpour.
We
huh?
did.
Yeah.
And then last night and early this morning, we've had almost a little over half inch.
That is something. Well, we're glad to have it. You like to have the rain, don't you, Rufus?
I certainly do. That clover I threw out last week.
Yeah.
All right.
Clover seed.
Yeah.
Well, I know what's going on at the nursery because I live a couple miles from Phil, so whatever's happening at my place is happening at Phil's.
Yeah. Yep. Plus, you visit, too. You visit her.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I hadn't been over there in a while. I apologize. I have. The last time I went, you were in Roanoke, Virginia. That was just two or three weeks ago?
No, I was supposed to be going, but I never got to go because we got sick.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I never.
Well, whoever waited on us said that you were in Roanoke, Virginia.
I wasn't. I never got to go.
Maybe she wanted to go hide for a while.
Yeah, I probably just
and not be bothered.
Hide. Yeah,
and they thought
from me, I don't ever do anything to you.
Not hide.
Oh, just hide. Okay, just hide.
Just hide.
Okay. And do you have a place? I know that your husband has a lot of places down in there, nooks and crannies.
I do have a place.
Oh, how about that? I wish I did. Melissa has a radar system built in, and she knows where I am all the time. I can't. It's just not that I want to get away from her. But.
Well, there's a place, if I go all the way back to the back of the property and go behind the last greenhouse, then I
Well,
can,
don't tell people.
Well, let me tell you
Well,
what
now, that's where you send me down there to smoke cigars.
So the sides are down. The sides are down in the house, and you can see all the way up.
Uh-huh.
But nobody can see down because you're
Do you have a telescope
yeah.
or do you have a set of binoculars?
Don't
My mother-in-law
to.
Had binoculars. She could look across the road is pretty far away from the house across the road to the other house.
I'm not going to disclose it, but that's where Dan, the man, and I went down there the other day and had us a cigar.
Oh, okay.
At your favorite
right,
spot.
Right. All right.
Well, let's see if Richard is smoking cigars this morning. Richard, good morning.
Morning, y'all.
Good morning.
I've got three items here, and I started the week with shoes. Now I got pollen stompers. And I've got proof that the gardening can be pun.
Oh, I'm sure that you could find any subject that could be punful.
Well, there's a new variety of tulip. It's called Tulip Lautrec.
Oh, that's a French variety, I'm sure.
And then there's a French variety of camellia. It's Camellia Saint-Saëns.
Uh-huh.
I learned about worm castings, too. I got a real good deal on some, and otherwise known as worm poo.
Oh, yeah?
I was going to use that, and it's also in some of the Espoma products with starter
right.
fertilizer.
Yes.
And in the center line of the bed, I just figured I'll put a super nutritious little strip in there of the worm castings. And when I measured the pH and the fertility, it really dropped the pH, which I needed to do anyway, but the fertility was just about off the meter.
Hmm.
So it's a nutrient on steroids, it seems.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I wouldn't say it's a big business, but
you take in dirt and put out dirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It refines.
Have you used worm castings before, Rufus?
I've had some.
Knowingly?
I wasn't going to buy any, but I've had some.
Yeah.
My old theory about if you want to get night crawlers to go fishing, get you a bucket, turn it upside down, and pour buttermilk around the ground, and they'll come.
Yes.
Hmm. You ever heard that, Richard?
No, I haven't, but it seems like it.
And you call yourself a scientist.
Well, if you see robins in the area, then there might be earthworms, because robins are meat eaters.
They certainly are.
Yeah. Boy, they talk a lot. I hear them when I'm walking from my car to the building. The robins are real talkative in the morning, early in the morning.
And they're not even calling the Batmans of the world.
No, yeah, absolutely not.
For some reason, after a rain in the backyard, I may see 20 or 30 robins.
Oh, yeah, they're looking for the worms.
Something about the rain makes the worms easier to get, I imagine.
The ground's softer.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
They may pop their head up.
Yeah. See, is it going to rain again?
Yeah, they're fun to watch.
Well, I think Gerald is supposed to start at the farmer's market today.
I don't know.
Today?
Yeah, I thought he said the 23rd.
Wow.
Oh, well.
But you better get ready for some buckets over your tomatoes plants then.
I don't know. He was in one of the farmer's buildings last year. Maybe he's got a cover. Well, I don't know. We'll probably go out there today if I see him. I'll tell him you said hello, Richard.
Okay. I think it may be still a little bit early to pull the trigger on planting the tomatoes, but the problem is Gerald has become so popular, if you don't get the stock early, then you may not have any.
Yeah. You know, we were supposed to have Craig LaHoulier on this morning, but he got called away to something else and had to cancel yesterday. So we're going to have him on in the next few weeks. Got to figure out when.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed his book, The Epic Tomatoes. He is accessible, too.
Yeah, he really is. A nice guy, smart, doctorate in chemistry, and he... Tom Campbell, I gave Tom a copy of that book sometime last year, and he bought several for friends and relatives. He was so taken with the book. People just think about tomatoes, fresh tomatoes, all year. It's a big deal, and something that you can grow. I wouldn't say easy at home. You know, that's probably one of the hardest vegetables or fruits or whatever you want to call them to grow at home.
I know, anymore. I mean, we used to have like a whole row of tomatoes, and we had no problems with them.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's really
so
sad.
Pestilence and disease.
Right.
And by the way, Richard, I've tried every kind of tomato thing you can think of about growing early. I have a rule. I don't put them in the ground until the last week in April.
Mm-hmm.
Because as that ground warms up, they're not going to do any better, are they, Phil?
No, the ground's actually warmer this year than normal. But, nothing's going to really grow that much, or the roots are not going to grow that much until it warms up.
And who knows when we're going to have another freeze or frost.
Well, that's the problem.
Yeah. April 15th, I think, is the average for this general area.
Just think of tax day.
Tax day, yeah.
One thing I found is I used to buy those the tomatoes in the little six-packs, and the ones that I planted in the six-packs really grew eventually at about the same rate and height as the ones I planted in the 4.5-inch containers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it was all the soil temperature.
Well, that's not what I normally buy in a six pack.
I buy Frescas. That's all I buy is in a six
pack. Well, I meant Dr. Peppers.
Yeah, that's right.
Diet Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
Well, name your poison.
Yeah, that's right.
But I wanted to thank Tony Avent too for his comment about invasive species. I'm supposed to teach environmental education for a certain government agency that, and it's been all the buzzword. I think it's the honeypot for researchers who can't get a gig elsewhere. But when you think about it, wheat, corn, tomatoes, you can regard those as invasive too, because corn started out from Mexico, tomatoes started out from Peru, mm-hmm. and wheat started out from the Mediterranean. We wouldn't be here without the invasives.
Right. Yeah.
It's just a matter of
what you want in your landscape, or what you want in your environment, I suppose. Yeah.
As long as it does no harm.
Well, we certainly have a lot of pear trees in North Carolina now. Like them or not.
Richard, I saw an article the other day about the horrors of Nandina, or heavenly bamboo, and I've got it on my place, and
I do too.
Red berries when nothing else
for decades
got any show to it, and that's supposed to be extremely invasive. It will grow, but if you don't like it, cut it down or pull it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's filled a really good niche in our yard. I had it in front of some ligustrum, but I had to keep going after the bamboo that was invading, and it probably...
Well, the ligustrum invades, too.
Well, yeah, it is on the invasives list, but there's different varieties of it, too. So
right.
The ligustrum went, and I've got a beautiful screen of Nandina and dwarf in the front and the taller stuff in the back.
How about that?
You can layer it, and
mm-hmm.
the birds seem to like it.
Yeah.
So... one man's invasive is another's visual pleasure.
That's indeed true. Thank you, Richard.
Well, y'all have a great one, and thanks for being there.
Yes, sir.
You too.
Thank you for calling us.
All right.
Bye.
Very smart man.
He sure is. Very, very smart. I wish I was that smart. Rose Rhodes will be with us here in a moment. But, you know, like so many of you, when the weather starts warming up, I Must Garden is there to help. It always is exciting to see the plants emerging from the ground and the buds and all the flowers. But no one really likes to see the unsightly damage from moles and voles. Moles can turn your lawn into an obstacle course. There are unsightly mounds and raised tunnels. Voles kill plants, gnawing on the bark of trees and also the shrubs and eating the roots of plants. They can really be an expense. Say goodbye to all of those critters with I Must Garden Mole and Vole Repellent. I Must Garden Mole and Vole Repellent is made from natural ingredients and blended with botanical oils, ensuring a safe and eco-friendly solution. The unique blend of natural ingredients coats the food source of moles and voles, chasing them away from treated areas. It contains no harsh chemicals, just pure effective protection. I Must Garden repellents are available at local garden centers throughout the Triangle, like Norwood Gardens in Raleigh and Hudson Hardware in Garner and Clayton. Protect your garden today with I Must Garden repellents. People and pet, eco-friendly. I Must Garden, your ultimate defense against garden pests. All right, let's talk to Rose. Rose in Princeton. Hey, Rose.
How are you doing?
I am well, thank you.
Well, it's a good day to do whatever I like to do. That's read about gardening and listening to you.
Well, thank you.
Well, Rose, I have a question for you.
Yes.
I did what you said do on my Daphnes. I bent the limb down, put a 3-gallon container under it, buried the limb down there, put a brick on it. Now, I know it's rained today, but other than that, should I occasionally, when there's a drought, water that a little bit? We know about Daphnes and water. They don't like it.
Well, excuse me. I never have watered mine, but if it's really dry, you could, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know about that.
Okay. Well, we'll do a little experiment. We'll water one and leave the other blank for a while. When it gets now, you said wait about a year, didn't you, before I cut that limb off?
Well, you can. Now, I used to do that a lot, and I would cut it off, you know, about July. And the camellia, I would have one bloom bud, and then I could sell that as a blooming flower in a one-gallon pot by fall when camellia started blooming, maybe early winter.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I did. I did a lot of that.
Well, did you ever do a Daphne?
No, I never did. Actually, I think I tried to root some and had a hard time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's about like them.
What shall I do, Phil?
It's never, you know, just try. You can only try it and see how it comes out. I would not put a lot of water on it, as you said, but I would, you can always try it.
Well, we're in it for the wrong haul.
The wrong haul?
Long haul. I got that piece of wonderful pound cake that Phil gave me caught up my mouth.
Rose, I'm sorry you're not here. We got donuts and all kinds of stuff. Pastries.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah.
But tell Rufus that I have air layered the Grand Slam for him.
Rufus, she's air layered the Grand Slam for you.
Wonderful. You're a sweetheart.
I only found one branch that looked good to air layer. So I'm hoping that will work for you. I'll let you know later.
Oh, great.
Grand Slam camellia. Have you ever had any of those?
I asked Lane if he had seen any, and he has not seen that on anybody's availability list. So I'm not
sure. So they're not
sure.
Growing it anymore, maybe? Or
I don't know. We have to do a little more research.
Or is it just too popular?
Maybe
too
not.
Too popular, I don't know. So it's, that's kind of a red with a yellow center.
It's perfectly, it's a beautiful, real, true red.
Mm-hmm. So is it kind of like the, what's the one at Christmas? They used to be at Christmas.
Yuletide.
Is it like the Yuletide, sort of, but bigger?
It's larger, and I think Yuletide doesn't it have just one layer of.
Yes, it's not a double bloom.
Right, and this
whatever.
One is double.
Oh, okay.
How long have you had it, Rose?
Oh, goodness. Time means nothing to me, so I don't.
Wow. It means everything to me. Everything's time related.
That's right.
I got clocks all over my house. It drives my wife crazy. At least they're not cuckoo clocks. But
good.
Yeah.
So you keep up with the time.
Oh, my gosh, I do. Yeah, I have to.
But I wanted to tell you that now is a perfect time to air layer.
Oh, okay.
Now, tell us how to air layer and what it is.
I look at a bush or a camellia. Usually, you can air layer most anything except a pine. Some people probably could do that. But I just find a branch that I think will look good when it turn it up and plant it. It would look like a little tree. And I'd remove some of the leaves, stems, for about as wide as your hand. And then I gird it or cut it all the way around there where I remove the leaves. And then I go down about a fourth of an inch and gird it all the way around again. And I'll put some kind of rooting hormone on it. And I take damp sphagnum moss and put it in my hand and push it up under there and let it come all the way around. And then I put, it's hard to do, then I put this aluminum foil. I have a square of aluminum foil. I put that under it, and then I just turn it over so the rain won't get in, and then I twist each end one way and one and one the other. And you don't want any rain to get in that. So, that and then I have had a lot of success with that.
Phil, have you ever tried that before?
Yeah. Excuse me, my dad and I did that some. Yeah, I have.
Rufus, have you?
Never
I don't
have.
Remember if you...
Never have.
Yeah. So you haven't.
Yeah, we did that with camellias.
Well, that's something you're going to have to take up.
Yeah,
well, I've been inspired by Rose.
He was listening intently, Rose.
Okay. But I do love the idea that you're air laying one of those camellias for me.
How's that pound cake?
That is just... It's just...
I'm so glad you brought that, Phil. It adds a little ambiance to the show.
My mom would say, "Don't talk with your food.
Talk with your mouth full."
That's right.
Well, take a swig of that Dr. Pepper over there. So, Rose, you got a bunch of stuff blooming in your landscape now.
Oh yeah, lots of stuff.
Do you have a dogwood?
All my dogwoods died except one, and it's just a little one that it'll bloom, but it's not started yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I'm starting to see them bloom here. They've kind of popped open.
Prunus mumae, they're fixing to bloom.
The Prunus mumae? I thought that they bloomed in like
January, February.
Well, they've already bloomed out here.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think they're real early bloomers.
That's right. I'm wrong. There's something else I was thinking about, maybe.
Yeah.
Some kind of cherry tree.
And I don't, yeah. Well, the cherries, boy, I'll tell you, the Yoshino cherries have been prettier this year than I ever remember them all of them. There's some really big ones around.
I know.
And I just enjoy those so much.
The Chinese snowball, that is just, it's green.
Yeah, mine is green right now, but it's the snowballs are coming out.
I made an arrangement yesterday with Laurel Petulum, and that...
Oh, that's been beautiful.
Made a good arrangement.
I lost a tree a couple of years ago, and a maple, and I didn't realize it must have opened up the canopy some, because things are blooming more. The Laurel Petulum, I have one along a wall, and it's incredible.
Wow.
I just, I don't, and it's pretty big, too. We haven't, it's kind of a blind.
Yeah, there's some across the street from the nursery.
Yeah.
That are probably, they're probably 20 years old, 18 or 20, and they are tall. They are probably 25 or 30 feet tall. They're huge. I've never seen any that tall.
Yeah.
They're,
is that what we call them, what I call the Chinese fringe plant?
Yep.
Yeah. Do you have any?
Oh, yes.
Kind of figured you did.
I got one in shade and one right out in the sun. I want to see which one's going to do better.
I think the one in the sun, just from my observations, it has never bloomed like it's blooming this year.
Right.
And I think part of that is the sun, the availability of the sunlight.
Yeah. Rose, did you hear Phil describing a moment ago what we call the banana pudding magnolia?
Yeah, the bloom smells like a banana pudding. It's really got that banana fragrance. Have we lost Rose? She's speechless.
Great.
I think we lost Rose.
Oh, no.
Well, doggone. Oh, well. Do you have those banana, what are they called?
There are several different ones. There's one that has more of a, rosy color on it, but they're the, there's like several different kinds.
Yeah. But yeah, more of the standard variety, isn't it?
The banana pudding.
Yeah, banana pudding plant.
Yep.
She's there. I can. Hear.
Do you have any for sale?
Yes, we do.
Jason says that Rose is there, but some reason she can hear us, we can't hear her or something. I don't know. Rose, if you hold on, we'll wrap this up after the news and figure this phone thing out. But we've got to go for the news. So
I can barely hear you.
Oh, okay. We got you now.
There
I don't
are.
I don't know what happened. It must be the line between Princeton and Raleigh. But
maybe it's not used to the water, the rain.
Yeah. Oh well, she couldn't hear us for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we need to reboot something. Maybe I need to be rebooted. We'll be back. I'll
give you the boot.